You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be with you this morning. Hey, if you're joining us for the first time, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm so glad you're with us today. Well, for the past few weeks, we've been in this teaching series called New Normal. And here's the question we've been tackling in the middle of this crazy season that we find ourselves in. What if God is wanting to do a brand new thing in your life? Like, what if in the middle of this season of uncertainty, God is wanting to move you into a whole new normal? Now, today, I want to talk to you about your spiritual passion. Because I have a hunch that many of you, your spiritual passion is running a little bit low right now. For some of you, like you just don't feel as close to God as you used to. Maybe your prayer life has been really difficult, or you've kind of gotten out of the habit of reading your Bible, or you just don't have the sense of God's presence in your life like you used to when you're able to go to a physical building on Sunday mornings, and you've kind of lost the sense of the peace of God and the purpose of God, and your spiritual passion is running a little bit low. Let me just tell you, I've been there before. Let me just share a little bit of my story. I grew up in church my whole life. Many of you know my parents are pastors. But I gave my heart to Christ when I was 16 years old. The summer between my junior and senior year of high school, I had this phenomenal encounter with God. I was overwhelmed with the love of Jesus Christ, and I gave my life to Jesus. I made my own commitment, not because I grew up in church or not because my parents were pastors, but I made my own commitment to Christ and said, God, my whole life is yours. And I immediately felt a call to ministry. What else could I do but give my life back to Christ in service to him? And so I was what you might call on fire for God. I was on fire for God as a teenager. I would stay up late reading my Bible, and I listened to Christian music like nonstop, and I was always looking for opportunities to share Jesus with my friends. I was probably a little bit obnoxious looking back, but I was taking every advantage to share Jesus with people because I was so spiritually passionate. Well, a couple years later, after I graduated from high school, I ended up going off to Bible college in Texas. And I had a phenomenal experience in Bible college. You know, we went to chapel 5 times a week. Hello, church. That's a lot of going to church. Some of you can't make it like once a week. We went to chapel 5 days a week. And some of the other students would complain about it. Not me. I loved it. I loved it because I had God's call in my life, and I would often stay and linger in the altars and prayer after chapel services. For spring break, I would go on missions trips. Yeah, I know, most college students are out partying on spring break. What do? When you're in Bible college, you go on a missions trip. And God touched my life in just phenomenal ways. And I would look back on that whole season of Bible college and say it was a time when I was spiritually passionate. Well, fast forward a couple years later, graduated Bible college. I married my college sweetheart, Amy, and I got busy in my career. I had an education degree, and I was teaching middle school, and I was coaching football, basketball, and track, and just working a lot of hours. And I just got really busy getting into my career and paying off student loans. And we were going to church, but I wasn't really involved in church. And I kind of found myself just going through the motions. And what I would say is I realized I lost my spiritual passion. And for the first time in my life, I had to do something about it. And so this message is for you, for those of you who feel like you've lost your spiritual passion. Now today, I want to talk to you about the quality of enthusiasm. Come on, somebody say enthusiasm. Somebody type the word enthusiasm in the comments. When it comes to enthusiasm, there are two types of people. Two types of people. Number one, those who let circumstances influence their enthusiasm. Number two, there are those who use enthusiasm to influence their circumstances. Come on, there are two types of people. There are those who allow what's happening around them in the world, the negativity and the stress and all that's happening around them, they allow it to affect their thinking and their perception and their attitude. It just messes them all up. But then there are those who they allow what's going on the inside of them to influence the world around them. Two different types of people. Now, I love this word enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm, it actually is a combination of two Greek words, Antheos, antheos. Think about the word theos, the word theology. We think about God, right? Theology is the study of God. This word literally means in God, like filled with God. See, true spiritual enthusiasm, it's born in the presence of God. It's not something you can just conjure up. It's not something you can just like psych yourself up and create. It's something that's born in the presence of God. It's born in a posture of prayer, in a posture of worship. It's something that happens in your heart. It's the result of something that God does on the inside of you when you've spent time with Him. Antheos, it's inside of you. It's to be in God. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me just read this scripture to you from the New Living Translation, verses 57 and 58. He says this, "But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Come on, can somebody just thank God with me this morning? Thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 58. "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Paul says we can work enthusiastically. Why? Because we're doing it for the Lord. And when you know who you're doing it for, nothing you do ever goes to waste. It's never useless. Here's the idea, church, and you can put this in your notes today. It's not what you do that makes it meaningful, it's who you do it for. Come on, it's not just the act, it's not just what you do, it's not just the action, but it's the intent of your heart. It's the intent of who you're serving that makes whatever it is you're doing, whatever work you're doing, it's what makes it meaningful. You know, some of you, I love the way you get so jacked up and excited to serve for Serve Day. Come on, some of you, like you get fired up when it comes to Serve Day. You're not motivated to get to your own to-do list at home. Come on, you got laundry piling up. You got grass that needs to be cut. You got dishes in the sink. But when it comes to Serve Day or a community outreach project, you're like, count me in. I'm there. Why? What makes the difference? The difference is you're a different person because of who you're serving. Because Serve Day is all about doing it unto the Lord. We're going to get out and serve our community, but it's all about serving Jesus, and it ignites your enthusiasm, and I love it. I love when I see it in you. See, when you're doing whatever you're doing for the Lord, it can transform something that's mundane into something that's meaningful. Come on, even the most average, ordinary, mundane task, when you do it for the Lord, it becomes meaningful. Let me tell you something. You know what I miss in this season of COVID where we're on the online and doing services online? I really miss being together on Sunday mornings. I miss walking into that theater. I know some of you joined our church during this online season, but you know, the vast majority of our church, I want you to think back. Come on, miss it with me for just a moment. Think about walking into that theater. And you know what I miss? I miss seeing the way our team and our staff members serve so enthusiastically. Come on, you can't get past the front door without being greeted by Pastor Jim. How many of you, the first person you ever met when you came to this church was Pastor Jim, who greeted you at the front door? Now, I know it's something as simple as just opening the front door, but Pastor Jim has got to be the best front door opener in the world, in world history, because he does it with such passion, such enthusiasm. He opens the door with a smile on his face. And some of you come walking in, and maybe you're tired. You know, you haven't even had your first cup of coffee yet. Like, you're not even sure if you want to be at church yet. But Pastor Jim opens the door for you. He smiles. He hugs you. He welcomes you to church. Come on, you feel like you're about to get saved just because Pastor Jim opened the door for you. And then you come in and you see team members, guest services, smiling with signs, welcoming you and giving high fives and people setting up chairs and tables and brewing coffee and doing all of these simple things, plugging in equipment. But I come and I see people do it with such passion. Why is that? Because all of our team members know that any given Sunday, somebody's walking into our church for the very first time, and that person may feel far away from God. Somebody might be walking in who's broken and hurting and feels far away from God, and it may just be their Sunday to find a relationship with Jesus. And so what do they do? What does our team members do? They serve with passion, with enthusiasm. Come on, church. When you know who you're doing it for, it changes whatever you're doing. If you're brewing coffee, you can brew coffee with passion. If you're setting up chairs and tables, come on, you can do it with passion. If you're greeting people, you can do it with enthusiasm. If you're opening the door for someone, you can do it, and it goes from being mundane to something meaningful, on theos, in God. God-inspired spiritual enthusiasm. You can have spiritual enthusiasm, but here's the thing, church, you can also lose it. You can have it, but you can also lose it. I want us to take a look at the life of King David, the greatest king in the history of Israel, the greatest king that we read about in the Old Testament. And many of you know his story, but let me just remind you, David was a young shepherd boy who became king. And as a young boy, as just a young man, he was filled with entheos. He had spiritual enthusiasm to serve God. But later on, as a king, in a season of his life, he lost it. He lost his enthusiasm to serve God. Now, many of you, if you know anything about King David, if you know anything about the life of David, you know the story of David and Goliath. We've all heard about this story before. Let me just remind you, the people of Israel, the army of Israel, they were at war with the Philistines, their arch enemies. And the Philistines had this champion warrior, this giant named Goliath, who was over 9 feet tall. And he would come out and basically say to the army of Israel, let's go ahead and just settle this war here and now. Send your best warrior out to fight me. And if he can defeat me, you win the war. We'll become your servants. But if I can defeat him, we win the war and you become our servants. And of course, all of Israel trembled every time Goliath came out because there was no warrior, there was no soldier in all of the camp of Israel who could match up with Goliath. Well, one day, David, his father, sends him to go bring food to his brothers who were serving in the army on the front lines. Now, David is just a shepherd boy. He's just an errand boy. They're bringing refreshments, some food to his brothers. And he overhears Goliath, like provoking the army of Israel and defying them. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And I want you to hear the passion that David had, the spiritual enthusiasm he had, the confidence that he has in God as he speaks to the giant, because he says, let me go fight this giant. Look at this, 1 Samuel chapter 17. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Listen to this. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Come on, if that doesn't get your blood pumping. David was filled with spiritual enthusiasm. It was born out of time with God. How did this happen? How did he get this way as just a young boy when there were no other warriors, no other soldiers who were up for the task to go out and fight this giant? And David, as just a young boy, had this spiritual passion, this enthusiasm. Where did it come from? It was born out of his secret life with God. And I want to give you three ideas today. Where did David get this enthusiasm? Number one, he trusted God daily. Number two, he walked with God daily. Number three, he worshiped God daily. Let's go back through those. Number one, where did this enthusiasm come from? He trusted God daily. David tells King Saul, right before he's about to go out and fight Goliath, he tells King Saul, don't worry about me, because as a shepherd, when I've been tending sheep, whenever a lion or a bear would come along and steal off one of the sheep, I would go and rescue that sheep from the mouth of the lion or the bear. And when the lion or bear would attack me, God would give me the ability to kill that lion or bear. Now, I have a picture of me with a grizzly bear from a few weeks ago. Look at the size of that bear. Come on, if you don't think it takes faith to kill a grizzly bear, that picture will convince you. Like, you better trust God if you're going to fight with a grizzly bear. And David learned to trust God in this way. God made him victorious every time he had to battle a lion or a bear. So he trusted God that he could go out and fight this giant Goliath. Number two, not only did he trust God, but he walked with God daily. David walked with God daily. This is David, the great psalmist David, who penned the words of the third psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Do you see it? This psalm, it came out of this experience of David walking with God, knowing God. There's pictures of him just walking along with God as his shepherd. He trusted God and he walked with God. Number three, he worshiped God daily. He worshiped God daily. David was a great worshiper. He was a psalmist. He was a worship leader. He played the harp. He was an instrumentalist. David was a passionate worshiper. There's one story when the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence of God, was being moved to the holy city of Jerusalem. And David went out in front of the Ark, and he got on his worship party. He started dancing. He ended up in his underwear dancing and actually scandalized his wife. She actually fussed at him for making such a spectacle of himself. But David didn't care. David was he was a passionate worshiper. He trusted God daily. He walked with God daily, and he worshiped God daily. How did David have such passion? It was a daily abiding in the presence of God. It was a regular thing for David. He spent time with God. He spent time in God's presence. David didn't just go to church every now and then. He didn't just click onto an online sermon or listen to a podcast every now and then. No, he had a daily intimate relationship with God where he trusted God, where he knew God's voice, where he worshiped on a regular basis. It was a daily thing for him. But there were two seasons in David's life, two seasons, one where he had spiritual enthusiasm and one where he lost it. I want to show you another season of David's life. Fast forward with me to another famous story from David's life. And this time, this is when David is king. And the scripture says that this is the time of year when kings would go out to war. And David had sent the commander of his army, Joab, out to make war against their enemies. But David stayed home. David stayed home. And when he wasn't where he was supposed to be, he climbed up on the rooftop of the palace and he saw something he wasn't supposed to see. He saw a beautiful woman taking a shower. And that woman's name was Bathsheba. And this led to one of the darkest seasons of David's life, a season that involved adultery and treachery and betrayal and lies and even murder. If you've never read the story, you can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you think the Bible's boring, it's just because you've never read it before. There is some X-rated stuff in there. It's juicier than anything you're watching on Netflix. You should read it for yourself. It's a very, very dark season. Very dark season of David's life. And it all started when David stopped spending time with God daily. I want you to notice the difference between these two seasons of David's life, when he was a kid and when he was a king. I want to help you see this morning. As a kid, with enthusiasm, David ran into the battle to serve his God with passion. But as a king, with apathy, David walked on the roof to serve his comfort. What happened to David? How did he lose his spiritual passion? What happened to his enthusiasm? Well, here's the idea. He took his eyes off of his calling and he focused on his comfort. He took his eyes off of his calling, what God had called him to do, who God had called him to be, and he got focused on his comfort and he lost his spiritual passion. And so let me ask you this question this morning, church. Which one represents you? Which one best represents you right now in this season of life? Are you filled with entheos? Are you filled with spiritual enthusiasm, passion to serve God? Or do you find yourself spiritually complacent? Because my observation in this season is that most of us have ended up in one of two extremes. During this COVID season, I think most people have drifted toward one of two places, have ended up in one of two places. There are some of you who, during this season, you have learned to depend on God like never before. Like you have been a worshiper. You've learned to worship through this season and pray through this season and trust God like never before. In this season of uncertainty, in this season of turmoil in our world, you've held on to the promises of God. You've drawn closer to his presence and you have a greater sense that God is with you. You've leaned into it. And so now you have a sense of his peace and his joy and his presence. And the Holy Spirit is very real in your life right now. But for some of you, I know quite the opposite has happened. You've drifted into spiritual complacency. You've kind of taken your eyes off of your relationship with God, and you got really focused on your comfort. And in doing so, you've become spiritually apathetic, and you've lost your sense of presence. And maybe you've traded the peace that you had for worry and doubt and fear. And there's this sense of what happened to my purpose, and what happened to this sense of having a very real sense of God's presence in my life. David had spiritual passion. He had spiritual enthusiasm, and he lost it. And it can happen to us. And when the prophet Nathan confronted David over his sin, David repented. He realized how far he had fallen from God. And he penned the words of this famous psalm in Psalm chapter 51. Listen to these words. He said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." What do we do when we find ourselves in a place where we've lost our spiritual enthusiasm, where we've lost our spiritual passion? You do what David did. You ask God to renew it. God, renew a steadfast spirit in me, and to restore it. God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Listen to what Jesus said to the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Jesus said this, "You have forsaken the love that you had at first." And in other words, you didn't lose it, you left it. You left your first love. You've forsaken your first love. Verse 5, "Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." What do we do? What do we do when we found that we've drifted, from the spiritual enthusiasm that we used to have? Because here's the truth, church, we can drift. By nature, we don't drift toward discipline. By nature, we don't drift toward being closer to God. By nature, we don't drift toward righteousness, but we do drift toward apathy and spiritual complacency. What do? When we find ourselves in that season, we do what Jesus says here, consider how far you've fallen and repent. Come on, can we just make this personal for just a moment? Can we just take a moment to take spiritual stock of our lives, to consider some of us how far we've fallen, to consider just how close you used to feel to God, how much you used to have a sense of his presence in your life. Maybe you used to get up on Sunday morning and you used to go to church, or you used to serve, or you used to be involved in a life group. And now in this season, like, you just don't feel as close to him, and there's not a sense of his presence like you used to have before. What do we do? What do we do? First, we repent, and then we do what Jesus said to do. He said, go and do the things you did at first. What do? We walk with him daily. We trust him daily. We worship him daily, just like David. We walk with him every day. We begin to trust him again. We begin to worship him again. That's what we do. You know, when I think about this whole idea of our first love, I think about marriage. For those of you who are married, you'll understand this. You know, over the years of your marriage, you can drift from your first love. You can drift from that love that you first had with that person that you fell in love with, that you got married to. And every now and then, we have to do the things that we first did, right? We have to get back to dating our spouse. We have to fall back in love with them all over again. We have to find a way to fall back in love with the very first thing that we loved about them. And that's the very thing that needs to happen with our relationship with God. We have to get to this place where we go back and we do the things we did at first. We do the things we did at first. Remember how you felt when you first came to faith, when Jesus first saved you, when he first healed you, when you found a spiritual home, when you were overwhelmed by the love of God, when your heart was bursting with joy, when it was a joy for you to serve God, when the small things, the everyday monotonous things had meaning because you were doing it with joy as you served God. Come on, church, we got to come back to our first love. We got to find that passion. And so for some of you, if you feel like you've lost your passion, I've been there before. And I know some of you would say, you know, Pastor Jeremy, you know, how do you stay spiritually passionate all the time as a pastor? Well, here's the truth. I don't. I have seasons where I lose my passion as well. A couple years ago, I went to Israel for a study tour with my dad. It was really one of the most special experiences of my life. We went all over the Holy Land visiting amazing sites, and we learned a whole lot. It wasn't just a little tourist trip. It was a study tour. I mean, we had lectures, and we had archaeologists with us, and we took notes. And you know what really impressed me on that trip? Throughout the whole experience, as we were learning about all these amazing sites and all this amazing history, what struck me on that trip was how passionate the people of God were. Like, Jesus was born into a culture that was passionate for God. Like, everywhere we went, we learned about people who died, who gave their lives. You know, we talked about the early church, and we talked about the early disciples, and it just was so real to me how they gave everything. Everything for the cause of Christ. And what hit me was the great spiritual passion they had. And I'll never forget, toward the end of that trip, going to the Western Wall, the last remaining wall of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And I felt convicted as I went to the Western Wall, as I prayed there, the holiest site that where Jewish people go to pray. And thank God they allow us as Christians to go there and pray. And I remember being convicted, because when I went to the Western Wall, as I had spent a week thinking about how people were so passionate for God and how many ways people in the Middle East are still like that, I recommitted my heart to love God with everything I have, because I recognized that I had lost my spiritual passion. I had drifted from it some, and I needed to reignite it. Yeah, church, I go through seasons like that too. I get spiritually tired at times, and so what do? I do exactly what I'm talking to you, what I'm encouraging you to do today. That is to go back to your first love. I go back and do the things I first did. I go back to that time in my life as a 16-year-old when I was overcome, overwhelmed with the love of Jesus that changed my life, when it was just pure joy for me, when all I wanted to do was give my life back to Him. I get reminded that I went into ministry because I fell in love with God and His people, and I just wanted to serve Him. And so what do? I get back to being a worshiper. I immerse myself in worship, and I get back into the Word of God, and I fill my heart and my mind with the Word of God. And sometimes I listen to the sermons of other preachers, and I build myself back up, and I spend time with God daily, and I get my spiritual passion back. And then the things that were draining me, the things that seemed like everyday mundane things that were tapping my spiritual energy, they become meaningful for me again. That's how I get my passion back. And so I want to encourage you, church, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. If you'll walk with Him, if you'll trust Him, if you'll worship Him daily, you'll begin to get your passion back, so that whatever you do it for the Lord. And can I just encourage you? Don't just do it for God, but do it from God. When you're filled with on-theos, when you're filled with spiritual passion, something gets on the inside of you, and it's the posture of your heart, so that what you do flows from the inside. Those who make the greatest difference for the kingdom of God are those who allow what's on the inside of them to affect the circumstances around them. So let me just remind you this morning, church, there are two types of people: those who allow the outside circumstances around them to affect and to sap their enthusiasm. But there are also those who allow what's on the inside of them to affect the circumstances around them. Come on, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled with on-theos, with spiritual passion and enthusiasm. So whatever they do for God. There's this sense, like David, I come in the name of the living God. I'm going to make a difference to those around me. God, whatever you ask me to do, if you ask me to brew coffee, I'm going to brew coffee. If you ask me to hold doors open, I'm going to hold doors open. If you ask me to go plant a garden on serve day, I'm going to go plant a garden on serve day. If you ask me to pray for someone, God, I'm going to pray. God, if you ask me to give of myself to someone else, God, I'm going to do it with joy, with passion, with on-theos, spiritual enthusiasm, because of what you've done on the inside of me. It flows from what you've done deep down in my heart. Church, I want that for you. I want that for you. And for those of you today who you feel like you've drifted some, from that first love, I want to pray for you. I'm believing with you that we're going to get it back. We're going to get it back because we have to come back to it. We have to come back to it over and over again. I want to pray for you, and I really believe right now that some of you got to speak into your heart. Some of you right now, this message is exactly for you, because you'd say, Pastor Jeremy, that's me. I don't feel as close to God as I used to. I've lost the joy of the Lord as my strength. I've been kind of going through the motions spiritually, but I want to get my passion back. I want to go back to my first love. I want to be filled with the joy of the Lord, with the peace of God in my life. I want to have my spiritual enthusiasm and passion back. If that's you, come on, would you just pray with me? Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your great love for us. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us first. And today, we choose to return to our first love. We say, God, take us back to our first love. God, we repent for having drifted from you. God, we ask you to renew a steadfast spirit in us and restore to us the joy of our salvation. God, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your presence. God, fill us with your entheos, with spiritual enthusiasm to serve you passionately, that we would be those who allow what's on the inside of us to affect our circumstances around us. And now, as we continue to pray, I want to pray for those of you who would say right now, Pastor Jeremy, I want that. I want what you're describing, and I've never really experienced that. And I don't even know how to have that. How do I get it? Let me just tell you something. There's nothing you can actually do to earn it. There's nothing that you can do to conjure this up. The way you get it is to receive it as the free gift of God. Salvation is the free gift of God. It starts with inviting Jesus to do something on the inside of you so that you're changed from the inside out. And so I believe right now there are some of you under the sound of my voice that there is a tug on your heart right now. There's a tug on your heart to say, I want that. I want to be filled with God's presence. I want to invite you to pray with me. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I repent from my sin and I turn to you today. God, I invite you to fill me with your life, to fill me with your presence. God, to fill me with your spirit, to give me spiritual passion. God, I want to know you. I make you my Lord and Savior today. Father, I bless every person who prayed that prayer. I thank you that there's an inner witness inside of their heart today, that they're born again, sons and daughters, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.